Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Soulfulpreneur Talk Radio with your hosts, Rachel Archelaus and Megan Grandelmeyer. Merging spirituality and business on the Enlightenment Evolution Network.
Hey everybody, it's Rachel Archelaus here with Megan Grandelmeyer.
Hi there.
You're listening to Soulfulpreneur Radio on the Enlightenment Evolution Network on Blog Talk Radio and soon on iTunes. Yeah, we're very excited. We're going to be on iTunes in just a week or two. So you can listen to all of our past shows there. You can subscribe to us so that you can get this delivered to your iTunes every week. We're super excited about that. And we're super excited about our guest today. Her name's Angela Artemis, and she is the founder of a site called poweredbyintuition.com. She's the author of a book. She's a coach. She has had a really cool past and story that's gotten her to where she is today, and I just can't wait to talk to her. She makes this whole big deal of following your intuition really grounded and down to earth. So that's going to be super exciting. And if you want to call in and ask her a question, she is a psychic medium, and we're hoping she'll play along with us today, though I don't know if I really asked her. But feel free to call in. Ask her a question. The number is 347-308-8788. And if you call in and you want to talk, press 1 so that we know that you're not just listening and we don't bother you. The number again is 347-308-8788. We are part of a network, and it's the Enlightenment Evolution Network with some really great shows. So we're going to tell you about what's coming up this week. And then Megan and I are going to have a little chat about what it's like when you start not just listening to your intuition, but acting on it, and, you know, what kind of changes that can bring in your life. So here are our announcements. If you want to learn more about the Enlightenment Evolution Network, go to Facebook and just search that name. You'll find out when the shows are coming up, what the guests are, and it's a really easy way to find all that out. But we have another show tonight by Victoria Vive Swong called Earth Sky People. It's at 9 p.m. Eastern, and her show is all about bridging heaven and earth. She talks about living in oneness with one another, Mother Earth, and with life beyond earth.
Great. And then Wednesday nights at 9 p.m., we have the show that started all of this, which is the Enlightenment Evolution Hour, and that's with Rob Gauthier, and he's the one who started this network that so many of us now participate in. And Rob channels a teacher called Treb, and he takes questions, and they talk about all topics metaphysical. And you can learn more about Rob and Treb at trebchanneling.com.
And Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern is Philip Mollica's Consciousness Evolution Hour. And he goes really deep into metaphysical topics from the perspective of the fifth dimension. You can find Philip and the Consciousness Evolution 2.0 group on Facebook. And you can also subscribe to Philip's YouTube page. He's got a great YouTube channel by searching Philip Mollica.
And then Friday nights at 9 p.m., we have the Earth Experience with Kalina Angel. And Kalina explores our soul's expansion through our human experiences on Earth. And I know that her show has been on hiatus for a couple of weeks. I'm not sure when it's returning. She's had some health issues, but check it out. There are replays available on our Blog Talk Radio network.
Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern is the Odyssey Ascension with Roxanne Swainhart. She's amazing, and she's got a two-hour show of Blow Your Mind download, Ascension downloads. So be open, be ready, and be with her while she answers your questions about past lives, ETs, soul purpose, energy activations, and all things ascension.
And then Sundays at 2 p.m. Eastern, we have About Oneness with Karen Newman. And she's got a weekly show that focuses on celebrating the ongoing conscious awakening of our planet and our realization of oneness and unconditional love. And Karen is fabulous. She's an author, a lecturer, an integrated channel, and an intuitive.
And Mondays at 9:30 p.m. Eastern is Heart to Heart Talk Radio with Daniel Scranton. He's just wonderful, and he's got lots of great guests. They talk about the shift, ETs, global events, channeling, energy work, toning and sound healing, and all things metaphysical. He has great conversations there, so call into his show and get in on that.
Super.
Yeah.
So you mentioned earlier that we were going to chat for a little bit about acting on our intuition and taking some action rather than just doing a lot of listening, which I love because I think as things opened up for me, I definitely felt a lot more connected and more aware of my intuition and what felt right and what didn't and what was joyful. But it does require then some action.
Exactly. Yeah. It's been a theme for this past week of like remembering how long it took me to actually do things, you know, where I'd always felt like I was really going to do great things and be happy and be successful, but it didn't really happen. And I kept thinking, well, it's just around the corner. It's about to happen. It's coming. I can feel it. I know what it's going to be like. But then I had this realization that, you know, nothing's happening and nothing has happened. And my husband at the time was like kind of fed up with my whole it's just around the corner story. And, you know, I was too at that point when I realized, so I've been saying this for 7 years, like when is it going to happen if it hasn't happened already? But I just had that realization, like I wasn't doing anything about it. I wasn't taking responsibility for putting that in my life or even for learning about what I didn't know. So yeah, fast forward, when I started taking action, things really shifted, and my goodness, like I couldn't even summarize it all in this 1 hour show, and we have to get to a guest. But this week, Megan actually challenged me to do something that I hadn't been acting on and did have intuition about, which was my clothes. I'm such a like tomboy when it comes to clothes. I love dresses and I love dressing up, but I never really do it. And Megan challenged me to show up to the show today, like looking presentable. And so I went out shopping yesterday and I got some things and I actually wore them today. So even though you can't see me, I'm dressed up for you. And I do feel really good and I do feel much better. And, you know, following your intuition could be as simple as wearing a different pair of pants, and I'm a testament to that. So I know Megan has a much more interesting story about being creative, but I just wanted to share how it could be the littlest thing, you know, that really makes a difference.
Oh, absolutely. And I did see you on Skype earlier today, and you did look fabulous.
Thanks.
So, yeah. Well, yeah, for me, having always been bit more analytical and totally on the left side of my brain for so long, as I spiritually started to really open up and intuitively and psychically opened up and stuff, I definitely got some nudges to work on creativity more. And I actually took up some painting, and I first was just kind of fooling around with stuff on YouTube, but you know, with some inexpensive supplies and a YouTube channel on how to paint, you're off and running, and it's so enjoyable, and it's very meditative, and so that was really fun, and now I've ventured into taking an 8-week painting class in a town near me, and we've done 2 paintings so far. We do a full 11x14 painting in 2 hours, and it's so much fun, and I've got a new camera, and I've been doing a lot of photography, and I'm even going to submit to a contest that I saw. I got a couple of cool pictures I think are worth submitting anyway, so it's kind of that taking action, you know, not just, oh, I wish I was happier, or I wish I was doing more stuff. It's, well, try something. And it doesn't really have to cost much money either. So, it's kind of my thing is just, it's helped get that right brain flowing again. And it just really, it does help with your intuition too, when you just start doing different stuff, mixing it up a little bit.
Yeah, and it never just affects that area of your life. Like, okay, so what? I'm wearing nice pants today. But that's not it. It's going to affect the rest of my day, maybe the rest of my month. I'm going to start seeing myself differently. Other people are going to start responding differently. And I know for Megan, her business picked up without her putting extra effort into it. And when she started being more creative, it relaxed her, it raised her vibration. And now she's getting more work than she maybe even wants.
Careful what you wish for or don't. But, yeah, super busy at the moment, and it's a lot of fun. I think I'm just even more in the mood to do new websites for people. I just have the creativity flowing. I had an existing client call me. He's struggling a bit with blogging, and you know, he doesn't like to blog. And I said, well, look, you know, there's a reason you don't like to blog, and don't feel so pressured to him. We started to brainstorm on other ways to promote his business, and he has a good nature with a referral network, and so we talked about doing more with that and more of his in-person networking and just being more in tune with what he really likes. And it was right up my alley to talk about that with him, because I'm just a firm believer, if you don't like doing something, you're just not going to do it, and you're not following your intuition. So, yeah, so it's spilling over into advising clients. It's great.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
So I'm sure Angela can definitely expound upon this, so I'm going to bring her on in a second. But first, I just want to let you know that, you know, she comes from a path that's, you could say, kind of different from being known as, you know, the intuition teacher. She comes from financial sales background and lives in the New York area, which isn't meant, you know, it's not necessarily known for being open and very spiritual. I know I used to live there, and people used to say all the time, like, nobody's open around here. You know, she then worked a lot of this new stuff into her life. And it's, you know, she's been doing this for a while, so I'm not going to say this is new for her, but she definitely made a shift. She's an astrologer, a clairvoyant, a medium, and she's the author of The Intuition Principle, and she's a coach. And I think I'm going to ask her to give us her story, because I'd really love to hear it. So, hello, Angela. Welcome.
Oh, hi, Rachel. How are you? Thanks for having me today.
We're so excited to have you.
And I'm excited to be with both of you, too. It's a pleasure.
So I was just really excited when I met you because, you know, I meet a lot of really amazing spiritual people, but there are very few who are so grounded and down to earth. And, you know, even on your about page, you say, like, there's nothing really metaphysical about this. It's really so practical. And that's one of the things I really fell in love with about your work. But if you wouldn't mind, can you kind of give us your story of your past and how you ended up where you are now?
Well, sure. I'd be happy to. And again, I thank you for looking at my about page. It's definitely true, and I think that's where the story really starts, is that I truly, truly believe, and I'm sure many people, I'm not the only one, but that when we use our intuition and beyond, which I would call the psychic gifts, because I do differentiate between the two, I feel that it's just as vital and as important to your life as using your other five senses. It's a way for you to receive information from the environment in order to inform yourself about whatever it is that you need to know, whether it's danger or whether it's making a well-informed choice or decision in your life, in any place and area in your life, from relationships to your health to your business. So I just think that, unfortunately, it has become so marginalized, and I do think it's changing, but... For many, many years, that we just really began to marginalize it, and it was on the fringes. It was always those kind of woo-woo kooks out there, you know. But mm-hmm. I do think with science, especially physics, a lot of things that we felt intuitively to be true are being proven scientifically. And I think that's really important to note, that it isn't something that people can kind of sweep under the rug anymore, that there's so much being scientifically proven about what we are experiencing that is becoming more and more toward the mainstream again, to actually rely on your intuition. I mean, you even hear people talk about it that you never would have thought to talk about it. You know, like Steve Jobs, you know, God rest his soul, mentioned mm-hmm. it many times. Many other well-known, huge CEOs, you know, CEOs of huge companies, I should say. So, and again, as you mentioned, I do come from a business background. And I went to school, and my father wanted me to be an accountant. And he was an engineer, and he worked in New York, and he worked on building these big buildings. He worked for Donald Trump, and he always noticed that the people that got the biggest promotions and ended up being the presidents of the company, they were CPAs. They were accountants. So he told me, you should be an accountant. That's the way to the top. And I always remember that. I was a young, impressionable high school student, and I wanted my father to be proud of me, and he said that was the way to the top. Now, I did not know what the top meant. I had no clue what he was talking about. But I said, oh, I have to be at the top because that's what Dad wants, you know. So I went to school, and I was going to, you know, major in something a little bit more, really, I guess, up my alley, like English. My mother always said I was a great writer. I said, this is what Dad wants. So I ended up I started as an accounting major, and I absolutely hated it. And by the time I was getting near my junior year in college, I had switched majors. I went into something a little bit less, you know, numbersy. I went into business. And because I still wanted to make him happy, and ultimately ended up dropping out and getting a job in a bank. And the only reason I did that was because they said they would pay for your college if you finished at night, and they would pay for it. And I kind of just couldn't stand the thought of, you know, I really didn't like business. But again, I was so young. I was, you know, 21 or 20, I guess 20. I didn't know. I didn't know that banking was business. I didn't know that being a bank teller meant... I just thought, oh, okay, I can count money. I'm nice. I can, you know, be nice to people and, you know, make change or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, P.S., I ended up, yes, I did. Finally, I finished my college degree. Yes, I ended up being promoted, I don't know how many times. I ended up as a regional vice president running a division of a private bank for a British bank, and being in charge of half of the state and all these teams of private bankers. And all we did was deal with people who had a net worth of over $5 million in liquid assets. So I was very left-brained. It was all about money. It was all about investments. It was all about lending money, because I also was able to lend you large amounts of money. So I didn't realize that in doing this, I wasn't following my calling. I was just doing what my father wanted me to do, and he was very proud of me. But I didn't understand why I was so unhappy. I didn't understand why. Here I was, you know, very successful, running this huge division, getting picked up, you know, in chauffeured limousines to go meet CEOs of companies to talk to them about investments and or lending them money, and why I hated it. Why I just, in the morning, I would just pray, oh, dear God, please, please, somebody help me. I just can't stand this anymore. And you know, I didn't really want to say anything, because I thought people would think I was ungrateful. You know, I had so much. I had what people might dream of having. But I just was in my heart, and my stomach was always in knots. I just hated it. And then I guess it was sometime, you know, maybe in the late 80s or early 90s, I heard about Joseph Campbell's work, you know, The Hero's Journey. Mm-hmm. And he was a professor at Sarah Lawrence College here in New York. And his specialty, he was a professor of mythology, and what he had studied was the mythology from all cultures from around the world that all had a story about a hero who leaves the life they know, enters the unknown because they need and feel they're called to do something bigger. They feel that what they're being given, you know, perhaps it's a young boy who's told, you're going to run the farm someday. And he's like, no, I don't want to run the farm, you know. And he goes on this big adventure. And he fights all kinds of demons. And he leaves the land of his comfort zone, so to speak. And when he returns, he's a changed person. But he followed his intuition. And what he did was Dr. Campbell called it was following your bliss. And I didn't know anything about intuition. I just knew I wanted to follow my bliss. And my bliss was not being a private banker, you know. And so what I ended up doing was at the height of my career, I gave up the company car. I gave up the corner office. I gave up all the stuff. And I had been saving money for a year or two. And I told my bosses I was going to quit my job and go back to school. I was going to change my life entirely. I was going to study writing. I was going to study media and culture and all the things that were really interesting to me. And I was so afraid. I thought they were going to, you know, shun me or hate me or say, oh, you ungrateful, you know, so-and-so, you know. Mm-hmm. And what happened was that the senior executive vice president of my group and then COO of my group, they called me privately and they told me that they were stunned and jealous of what I was doing, that they secretly wished they could do what I was doing. And I ended up, the one who was the top person, they gave me a 6-month leave of absence with benefits and insurance and everything in case I wanted to come back. Of course, wow. I never went back. But it was like I found out the thing I was so afraid to do, all these people wanted to do. They were not happy either. I mean, yes, they were probably, you know, I was making a great income, but they were probably making, you know, over $1 million. They were huge. And they weren't happy. My immediate boss told me he wanted to be an architect, you know. And so I think what happened was, and I didn't know then, I did not know I was following my intuition. I thought I was following my bliss, which is very very much the same thing. It was only later after I went back to school and I ended up, you know, I did very well. I was, you know, I had a scholarship to graduate school and all these wonderful things happened because I was on the path I was meant to be on. And I ended up, you know, getting all these awards for my writing and wonderful things that I didn't know I could do. And only later did I realize, as I started to read about it more deeply, I understood what had happened was the reason why I met with so much good fortune and I was so happy and so thrilled and so deeply fulfilled was because I had followed my intuition. And what happened, though, is I was in the throes of a divorce. I was in graduate school, had no way to support myself. And I needed to rent an apartment. I needed money. And so I thought I had this brilliant idea. Somebody told me to go into financial sales. You could work on 100% commission only. You could make your own hours. You could come and go as you please. And I said, great. This way I can go to graduate school. Maybe I'll make some money on the side. Well, that was a dumb move because I got into it and I ended up it was right around the time that the economy was heating up, and I ended up being lured back into making a lot of money because the only way to make money is you have to put your heart and soul into it. You really just can't do it like dabbling on the side. And so I had clients calling me, and here I was, oh no, I can't. I have to read 400 pages, and then I have to write a, you know, 60-page thesis and all this stuff. And so I took a leave of absence from my graduate work, and I ended up never going back, ended up working and working and working, and, of course, I did very well financially, and it ended up being a almost 16-year detour. So I did not listen to my intuition. I listened to the voice, the little voice of fear that said, uh-oh, you're divorced. Uh-oh, You don't have any money. Uh-oh, you need a place to live. Uh-oh, how are you going to do this? And I ended up, you know, putting my faith into the wrong thing. And I ended up becoming very, again, very miserable, in the wrong place, in the wrong space. But luckily, after about 10 years, I started my blog, Powered by Intuition, and I said, all right, somehow, by hook or by crook, I'm going to get out again. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to take another detour. I've learned. I've made a big mistake. I paid the price, and I'm going to get out. And I did get out, and, you know, it took me a little over 15 years, but I am free. And so I did take a long detour of not listening to my intuition. So I can truly say that when you do listen to it, good things happen. And of course, as soon as I committed to making a living doing what I love to do, which is teaching people how to use their intuition, I really I want to teach people how to fish. I don't want to be the fisherman, honestly, because I think it's more important for them to know how to fish. But things exploded, and I was able to leave, and I'm so glad I did. And so that's my story. I hope it wasn't too long, but it was. I guess I gave you a 30-year story. So I'm sorry.
No, I love it. I mean, I think, just like Campbell says, you know, we really learn and connect by listening to story. And so I thought it was fabulous. And I love that you found your intuition. Things were going great. You didn't even know it was your intuition yet. But, you know, you were getting awards and recognition. And then you went to the path of fear again. And, you know, so many of us do that. I used to be a very big raw foodist and like very committed, almost to the point of obsession. And then I went back to eating cooked food for a while. And now I eat kind of a healthy mix of both. But everyone I talk to pretty much in the same, you know, in the raw food community has done that at least once, like gone back to cooked food. And, you know, it's a different path than what you're talking about. But I think we all know what that's like, to go back to fear and then go back to intuition.
Yes, I do think. And I do think, though, part of it is everyone's journey. You know,
yeah.
Sometimes, and I guess I know you mentioned earlier that I'm an astrologer. And one of the things that's so fascinating, just to digress a little bit, in astrology, the way that we learn the greatest lessons in our lives are when the major outer planets, the major ones, from Jupiter through Pluto, at the very edge of our solar system, when they cross over certain spots in your natal chart, they go retrograde. And I know a lot of people know about Mercury retrograde because it happens every quarter, right? And we're in one now. But when a planet goes retrograde, it appears to go backwards in the sky. And what happens is it goes over certain parts of your chart several times. And the major planets, they take a long time. They're not quick, like 3 weeks, like the way Mercury is, right? So when you have these major transits happening in your chart and it's going back over certain parts, it means sometimes you need to go over and redo a mistake. And you need to learn it again and again. And most of the time, it's 3 times. So I feel like this is now the culmination. This is my 3rd time, you know, that I hope it's the charm. But, you know, so you do sometimes have to take one step forward and 2 steps back in your life. And I don't think it's unusual. I think it's almost normal. I think sometimes to actually get it right the first time is almost like the exception, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't think anybody should feel bad. I mean, I certainly feel like, oh, geez, you know, I wish I didn't put these 15 years in and I could have done it and I would have been younger and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? It is what it is. And I know there's a reason. And I do feel like, well, maybe, I can be an even better teacher now because I walked my walk. I made these mistakes, you know, mm-hmm. So I can teach from them, you know.
I don't see it as a mistake at all. You know, even in my case, I think what happens is, we just have to work out our kinks, you know. I obviously still had issues that I wasn't addressing, and they had to get worked out somehow. So I'm really grateful for that time, and I know myself better now. I'm more embodied now, and same for you. You know,
yes,
you have more experience.
Right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. And I'm sure, Megan, yeah, you can relate to the left brain thing.
Right. Yeah, so much of your story and how you were encouraged by your dad to go into one area of study and it wasn't really your passion or your heart wasn't there. I can relate to that, although, you know, no regrets either. I do enjoy my work and my skills at the computer and the web and all that. But, yeah, do I kind of wish I did some things differently than when I was younger? Yes, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah,
so it is interesting. But Angela, tell me a little bit, since you were so, you know, pushed into business and accounting and all that, where did the whole ability to be a medium come into play for you? Were you aware of that gift even when you were very young, or how did that come about?
Well, that's the strange thing is I was, and I can remember seeing and hearing spirits when I was 4 years old, because that's probably the earliest memory I have at that age, because I was definitely afraid of the dark. They would talk to me, they would come up close to me, and I would see their faces at night, and I didn't understand, but I was afraid. And so I always asked my mom to please leave a night light on, because that was the only way. If the light was on, then for some reason I felt safe, and then I didn't see them. And it was probably, my own, you know, psychological trigger that the light was on, you can't see them. So, and I didn't hear them either. So I had to do that up until I was about 16. And then I guess at one point I became comfortable. I forgot about it, or, you know, I just thought, well, that's such an irrational fear. I'm a grown up now. I'm 16, you know. So I started to come back again, and what happened was when I was 16, my uncle passed away, and I went to stay over at my cousin's house the night after he died, and we were all very, very close, and as I was sleeping that night, I woke up at around whatever it was, 2 or 3 in the morning, and he walked into the room, and I saw him. He came up close to me. He bent over, and he used to do this thing where he would kind of like grab your nose, and he grabbed my nose, and then he disappeared. And that was the beginning of the door being open again. And the next morning, I told my cousin, who was sleeping in the next room, I saw your dad last night. And I said, and he came up, and he did that thing where he used to grab your nose, and she looked at me, and her eyes got as big as saucers, and she said, he came in my room last night, and he did the same thing. So I knew, okay, and then, of course, all the memories came back about when I was little, because it's not that I forgot them, but, you know, when you're so afraid, I didn't want to think about them. And it just came back, and I was always curious, and I started reading. I didn't even know what mediumship was. I had no idea, but I always read books about, I guess you would say, gothic novels at the time. They were the big thing then. And I didn't even know there was anything that you could do called intuition development. I had no clue. And, of course, there wasn't anything like Amazon or online back then. I'm going back to, you know, the early 1970s. And as I got older, my cousin and I, she was also very interested in this. There was one really cool bookstore in Manhattan. It was called Wiser's. And they were the metaphysical bookstore. If you wanted to know anything about metaphysics, and that was what they called everything then, I'm sure you know, like if it was new age kind of thinking, which could be you know, Ernest Holmes or, you know, those type of the new thought, to witchcraft, that was all metaphysical stuff. And so we would go into the city. Remember once we hitchhiked there, and that was pretty cool. People used to hitchhike a lot then. And we went down there, and we would buy books and come back and compare notes. And so I started to learn about it really when I was a teenager, and then as I got older, and of course I could drive and go to bookstores and things. When I was in my 20s, I started to do professional tarot readings, but I didn't know I was a medium. But when I would do readings for people, I would see things, and I would just say, oh, there's a lady here, and she's saying to you this, that, or the other thing, and she's wearing this dress, or she looks like this, and she has a heavy accent, and the person would look at me, and they'd say, oh my gosh, well, that's my grandmother, but she's dead. And I didn't know. I had never even heard of the word medium, and I just said, oh, I must be reading their mind. It must be a memory. You know, I just had no clue. I was totally clueless. And that would just happen. I mean, not every time, but it would happen intermittently, and I honestly never, ever even thought about it. And then I guess it was about maybe 8 years ago. I was home one day, and all of a sudden, my little cat went crazy, jumping all over. We were out on my back deck at my house, and I thought, well, he must want to go in because he's, like, jumping at the screen. So we went inside. He raced into the living room. He was, like, I thought he was following a buck, you know. And he started going crazy, jumping around in circles. And I looked up, and I saw a young man, and he was holding up a motorcycle, and he had blood on the side of his face. And I was a little bit startled, but I knew, okay, you know, I knew I wasn't not to be afraid anymore. I knew I was seeing a spirit. And he just gave me this really mournful look, and all of a sudden it dawned on me, he was the young fellow who I had grown up across the street from, who had died at 18 years old when he had a motorcycle accident, and his motorcycle went off the Palisades over the side of the cliffs into the Hudson River, or I don't know if he went into the river, but he went down the Palisades over by the George Washington Bridge, and he died. He was, you know, on a little camping trip or something, and he, I don't know if he drank or whatever, but I don't remember now. But he was my first little boyfriend when I was, like, 12 years old. And I saw him, and I was like, what are you doing here? And he just said something like, I want to go home. And all of a sudden, then I heard his mother, and because his mother had died, like, 2 years before, and she said, just tell him to get over here. And I said, oh, my God, am I going crazy? And his mother said, hey, Angie. And she always called me Angie. And Angie. And most people, they don't call me Angie. It's fine. And I was like, oh, my God, that's Mrs. So-and-so. And I thought, I must be losing my mind. Well, anyway, after that, I kept seeing him. He no longer looked that way. He was the perfectly handsome young fellow I remembered. And he would come to me all the time and just sit next to me and smile and say things to me. And I thought, I don't know what this is, but I better find out about it. And then, you know how it is when you want to learn about something, synchronicity kicked in, and I saw an advertisement, and I saw there was a class nearby, believe it or not, and it was being given by a woman who was a British-trained medium at the College of Mediumship in England, at Arthur Findlay College of Mediumship, and she was giving classes, and I started going. And then I ended up going to see, getting trained by James Van Praagh and by Lisa Williams and all these people. And so it just kind of developed from there. But the thing that really pushed me over the edge was right before my father died, he said, I want to see you develop this thing. And of course, you know, I always highly regarded my dad and whatever he said. And so that's when I took it seriously. And before that, I wasn't really taking it seriously. I just kind of thought, you know, well, this is interesting. What am I supposed to do with this? You know, what can you do with this? You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. But when he told me that, and then he died, I was, like, driven. I said, oh, my God, my father told me to do this. I'm going to do this, you know. So now my father and I, we're good buddies, you know. He comes around and pats me on the head a lot when I'm working and points things out to me. So he's very happy that I did this, and I feel very blessed that, you know, he just had this insight, I guess, and he told me. So that's my story. But it was
wow.
One of those things, I had no clue. I had never heard of a medium. I didn't know what a medium was. And I just, you know, you could have knocked me
yeah.
over with a feather if you ever told me years ago that I would have been in, you know. Because I was
into,
so definitely
well.
Afraid of the dark. You know,
I know. I mean, I can relate. I'm still growing in that ability, and never would have thought this is, you know, what would interest me so much now. It's funny how it has a way of surfacing despite the left brain and all that other training that we go through. I love that your dad kind of came around and was interested in that. And that's interesting that you have a relationship with him now that he's passed. There's an author that I really like who's also a medium. Her name is Julia Asante, and she speaks often of the fact that she and her mother had a difficult relationship and that they worked so much out when her mother passed.
Wow.
Then they were able to work on their relationship. And I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. But it sounds like you have almost a similar thing as far as your dad still kind of being with you and encouraging you. That's wonderful.
Yeah. And you know the funny thing is, he actually, the day that he passed away, it was very unexpected. When I came home from the hospital, I called up a very dear friend of mine who's a medium in Canada, and the first thing I just said to her, I said, please get my dad on the line. And right away, he was sitting there on her bed talking to her, and he introduced himself, and he said, how you doing? My name is Stavros, because, you know, we're Greek. And she described him to me, and he is exactly, and she had never met my dad, and it was amazing. And so and whenever I'm on the phone with her, she's like, oh, your dad's here. So my father likes this. He's totally into it. In fact, he was the one that got me into astrology. So I have to give him a lot of credit for a lot of things. You know, he was interested in it, and I started by reading his books when I was 11 years old.
Huh. That's cool. So he had the whole, you know, he had to be the top in business, but by the way, I also am into astrology. That's great.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, he was a great influence. But it is not something, honestly, I love doing mediumship, and I truly, for me, it's so gratifying to connect someone to someone they love and be the intermediary. But I do love teaching people how to do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think people really seriously believe they can. And when you teach someone how to do it, to me, it's very, very fulfilling as well. It's so important to, like I said, teach people how to fish.
Yeah.
Megan and I definitely agree. We both teach psychic development classes, and it's way more rewarding for me to see that spark happen in someone else, right? Like they finally get it, or they have a vision, or they're connecting with their loved one, than it is for me to do it for them. So I totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah. I know, and I do, I like doing it, but like I just love the teaching aspect.
So why don't you tell us a bit about how people can learn from you. I see you do guided meditations, and you have a DVD or a CD of that. How else can people learn from you?
Well, I have written 7 books they can read. The Intuition Principle is the one that I actually created a program from. It's Discover Your Purpose and Prosper. And then there are 3 other books on intuition, and I have another 3 books on meditation. They can also learn from me if they just want to read. I do write an article a week on Powered by Intuition. I do webinars. I'll do a free training every couple of months where they can learn from me. I just had one that was how to use your intuition to discover your life purpose, and that had a big turnout for that. There's so many ways. I actually have 2 albums, meditation albums. One is based on the book, The Intuition Principle, that there were meditations in the book that I actually recorded and created the album, so I thought it would be easier for people to actually listen than read them. And then there's another album that I co-created with a co-creator. His name is Steve Aitchison, and we created the Reawakening Guided Meditation album, so they could use those.
So basically just head to your website and just see what fits for that person.
Yeah, absolutely.
So poweredbyintuition.com. Mm-hmm. That's great. And, you know, I noticed that you said in the beginning, like, you were kind of waiting and to replace your day job with doing this stuff, and it felt like in the beginning it may have seemed to take a while for you, but you have over 350,000 likes on Facebook, so you must have been doing something right.
Yeah, I know.
What happened there, and how did you amass that kind of a following?
Well, I think that's actually kind of an extraordinary story, because I, at one point, you know, I had reached, you know, 20,000, and I thought that was good. And honestly, I wasn't really trying to grow my Facebook following that much, because in the basic thing with Facebook is that it's wonderful to have the validation, but Facebook isn't really going to grow your business or your bottom line. It's not a revenue generator per se. And so what happened was, I would just post on my Facebook fan page things that I thought would be of interest to my audience, because they were of interest to me, and I assumed that because they were coming there that they would probably like what I liked. And what happened was that after a while, it just started to grow and grow and grow. And so at one point, and it was like 90,000, and it just dawned on me. I kept asking for a sign, because I don't know if you know, one of the books I wrote is called, my mind just went blank. It's called How to Follow the Signs. And so the book is about how to see signs in your environment and translate what they mean, so that you understand that even your environment is sending you signals on your path and on making the right decisions. So I had been asking, you know, I guess I must have had my own little blinders on, and I kept asking for a sign. Oh, send me a sign, you know, am I in the right path? Is this what I'm supposed to do? And, you know, I kept asking and asking and asking. And then one day I just looked at my Facebook fan page, and I had hit 90,000 likes. And I said, oh, my God, I think that's my sign.
Yeah.
And so that it just happened from there. And then I realized, oh, my God, okay, well, you know what? Somebody's telling me that they are validating what I'm doing by liking it, I suppose. And so that means that I'm on the right path, and I better take it seriously, and I better, you know, strategically lay out my plan so that, you know, in the next, 3 to 6 months, I will be a viable business. And that's exactly what I did.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I love that. Really, the key was just to share what you liked, and others followed, or others liked that as well. That's wonderful. Just being yourself.
I know people keep asking me, well, how did you do it? And I honestly, at first I said, well, I don't know, because I wasn't trying to. But then I realized, well, you know what it is? The right audience finds you because they like what you're doing.
Yeah,
so you just
and
have to be what you like.
Yeah, but more importantly, you liked what you were doing.
Yeah. Right, not
your
like I know I would read articles and people would say, "Oh, do this and you better share 20 times a day and do this," and I didn't do that.
Yeah.
I don't have any set schedule. I don't have any posts set in advance where, you know, they're going to post 24 hours a day. I do not do that. If I want to not do it for a week, I don't do it for a week.
Yeah. Yeah, that is one awesome piece of marketing advice I think people should take, because in my industry doing web design for small businesses, I get so many people like, well, I'm supposed to blog and I'm supposed to do social and I'm supposed to do XYZ, you know, how can I do this? Can you help me? And I start talking to them and I just say, well, are you on social media right now? Well, no, I don't really like it, but I can get an account. And I'm thinking, no. It's just that don't do that, because it's not your thing. And
right.
But what is your thing? this person might be more of a writer and really enjoy sharing personal stories. Okay, let's start a blog. Then I've got other people that just will do anything and clean out their desk before they'll write a blog post. And I tell them, okay, well, what do you like to do? Well, I really enjoy networking events. And I was like, well, step that up a little bit. So it's because people sense it when you're unhappy or you're forcing it.
Right.
So you are the definition of following that intuition. That's great. That's great.
No, thank you.
Wow.
So did you have any fear when you started becoming more public as an intuition teacher and a medium, since you had such a kind of institutionalized career for so long?
Oh, yeah, I had, yes. Yeah, I mean, I in my past also, I was, a trained financial planner. The career I left last, you had to be licensed. You had to carry licenses, and that's a big thing, You have it's a highly regulated industry. So I had a lot of fear because I didn't want my bosses to find out. I didn't want my clients to find out. I didn't want my referral sources to know. So I had to really live a double life, and that was very hard. That was actually probably one of the other reasons why I had so much angst about it, because I had to be two different people. And it's like I couldn't have these two worlds collide, what I'm saying? Because on the one hand, what would happen is I could have gotten fired, I could have lost my licenses, and that was my livelihood. Also, I might not be taken seriously. You're dealing with, multi-millions of dollars. So I was very, very splintered. My life was compartmentalized, and that's not a really good way to live because you can't be authentic. So I would be with clients. I'd be at networking events. I actually had somebody come up to me once, and they said, oh, aren't you Angela Artemis? And don't you have that website Powered by Intuition? I was like, I was like, holy God, what am I? And I was like, nice to meet you, bye. And I didn't know what to do because I said, oh my God, my boss is here. There's a whole bunch of high-powered people here. And it was really horrible. And I didn't want to live that way anymore. And that's sort of the other reason why I kept saying, I cannot live like this anymore. Not like I'm not trying to say I was like famous and all these people. It was just a one-time thing. And it was probably someone like me who had other interests, and they were, there at this particular business networking event, and they had other interests beyond their job, and they had probably stumbled across me, or maybe they were a subscriber. But it scared me because I said, I can't have this reaction where the bottom of my stomach drops out and I start shaking, and I think, oh my God, this, I can't, I have to look different. I better wear, I better not look the same. I better have two different hairdos. I know what I was going to do,
That's awesome.
I know. I was thinking, oh my God.
As women, we could do that too.
Yeah, so I'll have to have bangs one day or something, but because I wasn't ready to leave, and I didn't want my boss to think I had another job where I was trying to figure out how I was going to quit my job, And so it was very, very difficult because the one reason is, of course, being in such a highly regulated industry where you are dealing with money and numbers and people's financial futures, people don't want to hear anything about, that I might have been an intuition expert or that I, was able to communicate with, people that had passed away. That was not in their realm of their financial advisor being able to do that, So it was one of the things, I guess, that really kind of at the end I said, I can't live like this anymore. I cannot be two people. I have to be one person and be authentically who I was meant to be. And so that was, I guess, it kind of pushed me at some point to say, I have to get out of here. Because it was literally, I felt like it was sort of killing my soul. So I never did it around people I worked with. And, now I'm waiting till I actually still don't even want anyone to know that I used to work with. I want it to be a certain amount of time because I don't want anybody to think that I was building my business while I was working at my job, you know, mm-hmm. because I was, you know, but I just don't want that, you know, you don't want people to think that you weren't really paying 100% attention. I mean, when I worked, but you know, I guess I could have worked more. I could have worked a lot longer and harder than I did in the end because
yeah.
Anyway, you know what
I think they'll forgive you though. I'm sure you did an amazing job, and you know, where you were putting time into your business, you know, maybe they were putting time into their families or golf. You know, everybody has a side life.
That's true. I never thought of that. I didn't play golf. You're right.
You had time for the psychic stuff.
Yeah,
that's right.
Didn't play golf.
We have a comment from the chat. Profundity says that she's been listening quietly with great interest. And I'm just assuming that you're a female. I think you are. So, yeah, it's
she's
been a really
a regular listener too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. I love it. You're so down to earth, and yet you obviously have a really big impact on people. And I think it is your authenticity. You know, you don't put on airs. You're really open with where you've been and what you do. I think it's just really great to have that energy here. So thanks so much again for being on the show.
Oh, thank you both. It's been such a pleasure.
If there was like one major piece of advice you could give to people who are, you know, maybe on a path that's not their intuition, it's not their bliss, what would you say to them?
I would say that they need to really tune in to what they like to do and take steps, even if it's small baby steps, towards including that in their life. Like the way Megan was saying earlier that she's taking painting classes and how much you love it and how much it's brought to your life, just allowing yourself to really expand on that beautiful creative side that you have. You know, the more we do that, the more we really gain access to our authentic self. And I think that's really our soul. And when we are connected to that authentic self, your life will align with that. And you will start to attract opportunities, and doors will open, and paths will kind of roll out before you and take you closer and closer towards that authentic self. I like to think of it like a bullseye. You know, there's rings on the outside and you might be on the outer ring, but every time you listen and do something that you love to do and give yourself permission to follow it, you get closer and closer and closer to the inner part where that bullseye is. And as you do that, you'll get better at listening and you will be led to the right path.
That's awesome.
I could not agree more. That was beautifully said. It's just chipping away little things. You don't have to turn your life upside down. Just carve out a little bit of time for yourself each day. Do something a little different. And, things start to shift and all of a sudden classes start to appear or whatever it is that'll nudge you to the next thing. But you do need to be consistent with that and need to listen. Does this feel good? Does this opportunity feel right? Is this a should or is this like a joyful opportunity? I think I ask myself that a lot, and you get good at it once you start feeling those things out.
Yeah. Well, I do have a little update. Profundity is a male. Just wanted to clear that up. Sorry
for that. Regular listener.
That was beautiful. Really beautiful. It just start where you are. That's really what it's all about. Start where you are. Yeah. Do one little thing at a time, and it'll grow, and follow the signs. And that is such a great book, by the way. Everyone always asks me that. How do I know what my guides are saying? How do I know where to go? And I'll get the link to your book and put it on our page. That just sounds like such a fabulous thing. So thank you.
Thank you.
We'd love to have you back at some point. So if you have anything coming up in the future, let us know and you can come back on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. I'd love to. It's been great chatting with both of you, too.
All right. Well, have an amazing day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Angela.
All right.
Thanks.
Oh, thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow.
That was great.
She was wonderful. She, just like you had described to me when you told me about her and that you knew her, that she is very grounded and very humble.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard someone speak quite just from the heart and non-pretentious. Just, how did you get 300 Facebook thousand Facebook followers? Oh, well, I just kind of posted what I like and they came. You know, there wasn't this, well, I have this PR person and we have this strategy and, you know, no.
Yeah.
She was just herself.
Well, I think that just goes to show what Soulful Printer is all about. Like, just follow the energy, be yourself, and it's really going to work out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, not everyone's path is to be like successful in other people's terms. Like, everyone has their own version of success. But if you do what your heart is telling you to do and you follow your intuition, you're going to have a really good outcome. So I love that. And I love Angela. So go to her website and check her out. It's poweredbyintuition.com, and she's got lots of articles and meditations and books there to check out.
Super.
Yeah.
So, Rachel, we have our first book club coming up. Do you want to remind our listeners of the book? And I know that you and I are reviewing it again and preparing, and we're encouraging people to read Busting Loose from the Money Game by Robert Sheinfeld.
Yes. So our first book club is next week, the 14th. We're going to be discussing chapters 1-9, so you don't even have to read the whole thing. We've got a bunch of people who have taken the challenge, and this is the most influential book I think I've ever read. And maybe Megan would agree. She's read a lot of books, though.
Well, yeah, it's right up there. And I know I've mentioned before that, you know, the artwork on the cover is kind of interesting because, boy, talk about don't judge a book by its cover. It's the most spiritual book I've read. It kind of rocks your world. It makes you realize you really are in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
With everything, including money. But you can take so much out of the book, even if money isn't a big focus for you. It applies to everything. So definitely worth the read. But
Yeah. Definitely
helpful to have people to talk about it with.
I mean, I grew up openly psychic. Like Angela, I've been talking to my departed loved ones, speaking with, you know, angels to aliens. Like, I am pretty open, listened to Bashar for years. I get it. Like, I've read lots of spiritual books. I'm very versed in metaphysics. And yet, this book really synthesized everything that I've learned in such a simple, down-to-earth, really nice, packaged way. And when I was reading it at night, I started, like, seeing through walls. People started walking through my house. And normally, I turned my vision, you know, my sixth vision or whatever you want to call it, off because it's distracting. But it just popped on and I finished reading the book and, you know, seeing through my house, and it was incredible. And it really did change the way I really lived. It helped me embody the principles that I already knew and was working on, but it really put them in my life. And so I think that's all I'll say for now. I can go off on a tangent, but that's what next week's for.
Yep.
So read chapters 1-9 of Busting Loose of the Money Game or Busting Loose from the Business Game. They both have the same information in there. And we'll talk about it next week. So show up and, you know, put your 2 cents in. We'd really love to hear from you.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Cool.
Well, the end of another show.
Yeah. More announcements. We are part of the Enlightenment Evolution Network. Fabulous group of people. And you can find more on facebook.com/Enlightenment Evolution Network. Later on today, we have another show called Earth Sky People, Your Bridge Between Heaven and Earth. It's at 9 p.m. Eastern and hosted by Victoria Vives Wong. She'll be talking about living in oneness with one another, with Mother Earth, and with life beyond Earth.
Wednesday night, so tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern, we have the original show that started this network, the Enlightenment Evolution Hour with Rob Gauthier, and he channels Treb, and he'll take callers' questions and talk about all things metaphysical, and you can learn more at trebchanneling.com.
On Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, we have Philip Mollica's Consciousness Evolution Hour. And he talks about all things metaphysical from the perspective of the fifth dimension. And you can find Philip and the Consciousness Evolution 2.0 group on Facebook.
Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, we have the Earth Experience with Kalina Angel, and she explores our soul's expansion through our human experiences on Earth.
And I did get an update on that, and her show has been on, so go and check out her on the archives and listen on Friday night. And Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern, the Odyssey Ascension with Roxanne Swainhart. It's 2 hours of really amazing channeling and talk about ETs, soul purpose, energy activations, and all things ascension.
And then Sundays at 2 p.m. Eastern, we have About Oneness with Karen Newman, and she's got a weekly show that celebrates the ongoing conscious awakening of our planet and our realization of oneness and unconditional love. And her show is doing really well and I think has even been picked up by another network. And we'll have more details on that maybe next week, but it's definitely one to check out.
And Monday is at 9:30 p.m. Eastern is Heart to Heart Talk Radio with Daniel Scranton. He has a great show all about ETs, the shift, global events, channeling, energy work, toning and sound healing, and really all things metaphysical. And he takes your calls to get in on a high-frequency discussion on anything related to living on planet Earth and beyond. And Daniel is a channel, Reiki master, and sound healer.
Wonderful. So, well, it was great to connect with you today, Rachel, and I enjoyed our conversation with Angela. And we'll post some more information if anyone wants to connect with us and listen to past shows. If you go to soulfulpreneur.com, and full is with two L's, we've got a website and we have links to all of our past shows and usually info on what's coming up. And then on Facebook, we also have a Facebook page if you search on Soulfulpreneur.
Yep. And, you know, the website has more info on what me and Megan do when we're not on the air. So
That's right. If
you want to know more about us, you can check that out too. Great. So next week, join us for the book group. Read chapters 1-9 of Busting Loose from the Money Game, and we'll see you then. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.